It's incredible. Today's shiur is Masechta Shkolim Daf Zayin. We're going to begin with the last words on Daf Vav Amud Beis. Moisa Nozel Nadova. So we learned in the Mishnah, as we described yesterday in the Mishnah, that all Kabbonis, the Mishnah listed, what is the status if we have leftovers? And the Mishnah said, Moisa Nozel, if we have leftover money from the Kabbonis that the Nozer had to bring, it goes on the Dova. Just to review what we spoke about yesterday, the Dova means the fund from which they bought the Oilois, Ketz, and Mizbeach, that the Mizbeach should never be idle from Kabbonis. So if it was, nobody was bringing any Kabbonis, they brought Oilois from that fund. In order to learn this Gemara, we'll speak out the way Reb Chaim Kamievsky in his Pirish explains the Gemara, and then we'll learn it inside. A Nazir has to bring three Kabbonis, a Karban Chatas, a Karban Oila, and a Karban Shlomim. The Gemara in Masechta Nazir discusses Ma'os Stumim and Ma'os Mufroshim. Ma'os Mufroshim means that the Nazir takes money and designates, and this money is going to be for the Karban Chatas. This money is going to be for the Karban Oila. This money is going to be for the Karban Shlomim. Under such circumstances, everybody agrees that the halacha for every Moisa will be as we learned in the Mishnah. Moisa Oila will be Oila, Moisa Chatas will be Nadava, Moisa Shlomim will be Shlomim. But then there's another situation of Moisa Stumim, that the Nazir just takes a pile of money and he says, from this money I'm going to buy all three Kabbonis. So again, if the Nazir never separated the money in any way, and he just has this pile of money, since there's chatos money in this money, there is no question that the moiser goes l'nedava. The Gemara we're going to discuss today, Mirza Hashem, speaks about a situation where the Nazir already separated out the chatos money from this pile that he began with, and he now is left with oila and shlomim money alone. What will be the halacha then? Begins the Gemara. Rav Chisda Amar, v'hu shekar v'chatos b'soif, that he has the chatos money still mixed together in the pile. He never separated it out. Avo ikar v'shlomim b'soif, if he had separated the chatos money out, then and he was only left with shlomim money, then the halacha would be moser and shlomim. Amar Rav Zeira disagrees. He says, afilu kar v'shlomim b'soif, even if he separated out the chatos money, and the money he's left with now is only shlomim money, halacha achasi b'nazir, there's one uniform din regarding all nazirim, shetia moisra nadova, no matter what the circumstances are. Says the Gemara, masnisa mesai ledain, we have a braisa that corroborates Rav Chisda's shita, or masnisa mesai ledain, and we have a braisa that corroborates Rav Zeira's shita. Masnisa mesai le Rav Zeira, the braisa that corroborates Rav Zeira's psak, because it says in the braisa, Elahein ma'astumim. What is a case of money that's stumen, that's not designated? Kol shedmei chatas misas muravas behen. As if there's money of a chatas in there, it's considered ma'astumim. But continues the braisa, v'afilu hifrish demei chatas mitoichoy, even if you already separated out the chatas money, still, it has the din of ma'astumim hein, it has the same halacha, with halacha will be moister nedova. So that's clearly what Rav Zeira said, that under all circumstances, the meiser money of a nazir goes to a nedava. However, masnisa mesayel Rav Chisda, we have a braisa that corroborates Rav Chisda's psak. If somebody said, elu l'chatosi, he started off with one pile of money, but then he separated out the chatos money, and he said, v'ashar l'shar nazirosi, and the rest will be for my carbon oil and carbon shlomim that I also have to bring, is the halacha me'alim b'kulim ve'ei me'alim b'tzasim. Now we have to introduce another concept. The halacha is that if somebody uses for personal purposes hegdish, it's called mila b'hegdish. However, it depends if it's kotche kotchim, like an oila, or kotchim kalim, like a carbon shlomim. There's only mila b'hegdish by kotche kotchim, not by kotchim kalim. So what happened here was, we started with a pile of money that had in it chatos, oila, and shlomim. And as we learned, the chatas money was separated out. Now I'm left with oil and shlomim. So if the money the person used was oil money for his own purpose, that would be meila. If the money that he used for his own purpose was shlomim, it would not be meila. Says the Braisa, ma'alim b'kulam v'ein ma'alim b'tzassim. Only if he used all of the money, so since in that money there's oil money, he certainly did meila, that's why there's meila. But if he only used part of what's here, I'll say that the money he used is not the oil money, it's the shlomim money, and there's no meila. Should we shine him explain? It doesn't have to be that he used all of the money. If he used most of the money, we already assume that from the money he used was oil money, and therefore he's over meila. However, the point that we want to make, getting back to Rav Chisda, v'loy omer, what the Braisa doesn't say is emes, that if he dies and now becomes meiser, yiplu nadova. Why doesn't the Braisa say that? Because the Braisa holds that since the chatas money was separated out, the halacha of meiser nadova is no longer relevant. Then the halacha is that the chatas, the oil is for oil and shlomim is for shlomim, and the Mishonim say what we would do in this case, according to Rav Chisda, is that the chatas money is separated out, the money that's left, half of it I designate as meiser oila, and half of it I designate as meiser shlomim. Now, there's another thing that the Noisa has to bring. He has to bring lechem, he has to bring chalis. So now the Gemara begins, what is the status of the meiser lechem of the Nazir? The Nazir designated chalis, and he doesn't use him, he died. What is the halacha? Rav Chisda amar meiser lechem shel Nazir, the leftover chal of the Nazir, yurkef, has to be left to rot. Amar Rav Yosi, so Rav Yosi says, v'yos, that's a correct psak. Why? Lakruva b'nefnei atzmoi, ein atayochel, to bring it by itself is impossible, because there's alokosh, ein lecho lechem karv l'atzmoi. Chalak can never be brought if it's not part of another carbon. Lakruva b'nezir sacheris, to bring it with another carbon nazir, ein atayochel, that's not possible. She'ein lecho nezir b'loy lechem. Every nazir has to bring his own carbon and his own chalak. Lefum came, therefore, tzorach meim, we must say, mois alachmish nazir, if there's leftover bread, yurkav, we leave it to rat. No, he died. Mois nazir is, he's not here anymore.
Now you want to attach it to another carbon.
Right, but everybody has to bring his own lechem. I can't use your lechem. Savrim meimer, so the Bnei Yeshiva thought, hu lachma, the same din that applies by the Maisa Lechem, should also apply hu Maisa Nesachav. Because the Nazir also has to bring one of his karbonos, like in most situations, Nesachim. Am Rabbi Yosef Rabban, Maisa Nesachav, kachi kachi minu. No, Maisa Nesachim don't have the same din as Maisa Lechem. Because Maisa Nesachim are kachi kachim, and the halacha is that Maisa kachi kachim is always yipalu nedava. So the Midrash Tavit explains, what is the halacha by Moshe Kachi Kachim? He says, by Kachi Kachim that you could use them, that you could make it into a private carbon, like the Moshe Oila, which you could bring an Oila Nadova, so there Moshe Oila is Oila. But in Chatos, or in Asham, or in Nesachim, which you can't bring as an independent carbon, that's when it goes on Nadova. Says the Gemara, Aldati de Rabbi Yosi v'Rabun, according to what Rabbi Yosef Rabun said, Shmuel Aliyah der Chizda, the Mois and the Sachim, what Rabbi Chizda just paskened regarding Mois and the Sachim, Rabbi Chia that we learned yesterday, and we'll review in a moment, Rabbi Lazar, also we learned yesterday, Shloshtam Amr Dav Echad, all three of them say the same thing, that Moiser Kachay Kachim go to Nadova. Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Ahadamaran. The first of what we just learned, that Rav Chisda told us that the mois and the sachim go to Nadova, because it's kachi kachim. Shmuel, Dom Rav Yosef, we learned yesterday, Rav Yosef told us, Ad and Nataman, while it was in Bavel, Shamit Kal Rav Yehuda Shaul Shmuel, I heard Rav Yehuda tell Shmuel, Hifra Shikla Emes, the case that we discussed yesterday, if somebody designated money for the Machzor Shekel and then he died before it got to the Beis HaMikdash, so it's mois and kachi kachim. Why is it Moshe Kachi Kachim? Because part of that money is used to buy carbon chattas, carbon seber chattas, Amle Yiblu Nadova. So again, we have an example of Moisa Kachi Kachim going to Nadova. Rebbe Lazoimer, something that we learned also yesterday. Moisa Asiris Eifish Loi. If the Kohen Gadol, every day he has to designate a Moisa Asiris Eifish for the Michas Chavitim, if he has Moisa. Rebbe Yochanan Yelichu and Yama Melech, he says we let it go to the Yama Melech. Rebbe Lazoimer Yiblu Nadova. Why Nadova? Because the Kohen Minchas Chavitim is Kachi Kachim, and Kachi Kachim go to Lenadova, like we just learned. Says the Mishnah, if there's a fund that they established that if somebody, Chas V'Shalom, would get kidnapped, they'll have money to ransom him. So that money, if it's used, if we have that fund, we use it for one captive, and the leftover is used, Chas V'Shalom, if there'll be more. But what about Moshe Shavui? Money was collected for one specific person who was captive, and they collected more than they need. So what do you do with the leftover money? Why is it shavui? It's used for that specific person. That is an interesting question that the Chroidim discuss. What's going to be the halacha that they collected money for five people? There were five people caught together. They were captured together. And we collected for them. And now we have leftovers. Is it considered like it's shvuyim because it wasn't collected for one individual? Or is it like a shavui because it's not collected just as a general fund? It's collected for specific people. So will the leftover money be divided by those five people? It's machloikas achroinim. Mois laniyim, if they have a fund for poor people, if they have leftover money, it goes to laniyim. Mois ani, if you have leftover money for one specific poor person, it goes lois ani. Before we learn the next line of the Mishnah, in ancient times, it wasn't necessarily the case that for everybody a metzeva, a monument was made on their grave. So if they collected money, somebody, Rachman Litzlan, died, and they doesn't have money for kvura, and they collect money for the kvura, and there's leftover money. So we're going to learn now in the Mishnah, there's three shittas, what should be done with that. Maisa HaMesim, leftover money that they have a fund for people who die that can't afford to be buried, goes LeMesim. That money goes into the fund, the leftover money. However, Meiser Hames, let's say you have leftover money that you collected for one specific person. So the Tanakhama holds it goes to Yarshav. It goes to his ears. A Machloikis, how does that work? Davni Nezer says, it works as follows, that when people give money for this mace, they understand there may be extra money. And what they intend with their extra money is that the extra money should be used for that the Yarshim should take it. Rabbi Chanan, the Kaibet Shurim, says it's a Yerusha. It's like the rest of what they inherit from the father. This is money that they inherit from the father. Ramei, however, has a dilemma. Should we give the money for the Yarshim, or should we make a Matzeva? Mais Rameis, we don't know what to do with it, and therefore Yemunach HaTshiyav Eliyahu, we let it sit until Eliyahu will tell us what to do, clarify the status. Rav Noyesnoyman, Mais Rameis, Banim Lai Nefesh L'Kevroi. We use it to build a metzeva. Why is a metzeva called a nefesh? So some say it's because a metzeva is l'toivas ha-nefesh. It's for the welfare of the neshama. Another pshat is that every person's ruchnius makeup is made up of three parts. A neshama, ruach, and a nefesh. When a person leaves the world, his neshama and ruach go up to the olam ha-emes, but his nefesh remains where he's buried. That's why the Makam HaKfura is called a Nefesh. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Kavalei B'cheskish Einlein. Money was collected for a person who died, and they thought that he doesn't have any money to pay for a funeral. And then it turned out that he was able to, he left over money. Rabbi Yirmiyah Savamemis, Rabbi Yirmiyah wanted to say, Maisam Esli Yashav. It makes no difference. It was collected for him. And we learned in the Mishnah that any money that's left over goes to the Yarshim. Amalei Rav Idi, the Chutrus, Rav Idi from Chutrus told him, Hagatzmcha, think about what you just said. The people who donated on his behalf, on this dead person's behalf. If he doesn't need it, then the donation was never meant to be. Amalei. So Rav Yirmiyah says to Rav Idi, Anola Amrit, I never said this halacha, that that the halacha should be that if the mace dies without any, that he didn't need it, then the money doesn't go to the yarshim. It goes back to the donors. Atmanalach, how do you know this? So there's two ways that the Mefarshim explain what Rav Yirmiyah said to Rav Yidi. Some say what Rav Yirmiyah was saying to Rav Yidi, I don't agree with you. The halach is if money was collected for a mace, it always goes there even if he didn't need it. Others say Rav Yirmiyah wasn't disagreeing with Rav Yidi. What Rav Yirmiyah was saying to Rav Yidi was, you're saying a nice psak, and it's a, I agree, just where did you get it from? There's an interesting machloikus rishonim. The rishonim speak about the following case. Let's say money was collected to somebody who was kidnapped. And then before they could give the money to the bandits, the person died, or they killed him. So now what's the status of that money? Does the money go back to the donors, or does it go to his yarshim? Machloikus Rashba and Rosh. Actually, the Shulchan Aruch brings down both opinions. So, the Mefarshim say, what is the basis of the Machloikus of the Rashba and Rosh? There are two ways that are explained. One way it's explained that it's actually the same Machloikus of Rav Yidi and Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yidi says that money that's collected that's not used goes back, that was never used, goes back to the donors. Rav Yirmiyah says, no, it goes to the yarshim. That's one approach. But I saw another approach. The Mishnah Seliyos has another approach. He says, when Rav Yidi tells us that the money that was donated, that was never needed, goes back, according to Rav Yidi, to the donors, there's two reasons to understand it. One way of explaining it is because the person who they collected for never needed it. Or another way of explaining it is the donors never intended to give it if the person doesn't need it. What's going to be the nafkamina? The nafkamina is going to be this case, where the person was indeed kidnapped, but they never ended up using it. According to the pshat, that here the mace never needed it, here the captive needed it, he never got a chance to use it, but he needed it. But according to the pshat that we follow, that we look at the donor's intention was only if it will be actually used. Since it was actually never needed, actually never used, he never meant to give it, and therefore the halacha would be that the money would have to go back to the donors. Tani b'shem Reb Nosson. We learned in the name of Reb Nosson. Moisra mes, money left over from a mes, yivaloi nefesh al kfivroi, we should build a metzeva, v'yasloi zil v'gamitosa. They used to spritz the people who died with wine to take away the odor. The leftover money should be used for that. Before we go further, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes Radvaz that really all of this is not that relevant nowadays, because nowadays everybody has a mitzvah. So certainly nowadays, if there was leftover money, you use it for a mitzvah. It doesn't go to the yarshim. Tani, we learned in a brisa, ein poydin shavi b'shavi. We don't take money that was collected for one person who was kidnapped and use it for another person that's kidnapped. Ein goyven talis b'talis. There are two ways of understanding this. One way is, if we're collecting money for one person's clothing, we don't use it for another person. Or, shots like this. We want to collect money for a person who needs clothing. It's going to, this person, to buy him a wardrobe will cost $200. But if we say it's going to cost $200, we'll have a difficult time raising it. So we'll say that the wardrobe cost $1,000, and then we'll have no problem raising $200. Says the Gemara, you're not allowed to do that. Furthermore, v'emimachim yad panasim l'kach. If the Gaboim do take money from the cause that they were supposed to give it and use it for another cause, we don't stop them. Because the money is really, at the end of the day, given to them to see that they should do as they see fit. However, the Paiskim say it's only acceptable if they do it with permission of the board, the Zion to the ear, and that they ultimately give back the money to the original cause. Tanar Shimon Gamaliel Omer. Ein oisim nefashos l'tzadikim. We don't make a metzeva for a tzadik. Divreim heinein zechroinam. Their divrei Torah are their best remembrance. So the tshuva from Ramosha. Ramosha says that the Gemara doesn't mean to say that it's also to make a metzeva, a monument for a tzadik. But the Gemara saying is you don't have to make a metzeva for a tzadik. His Torah is the best metzeva. Like they say, if he wrote a sefer, that sefer is much more of a testimony and a remembrance than him, than his matseva. Because who goes to the Beis HaKvaris? Furthermore, Ramosha says, just like there's many times in halacha we say that nobody should really consider themselves a Talmud Chacham, here too, a person shouldn't be quick to say the person's a Talmud Chacham and therefore he doesn't need a matseva. Moreover, there are other reasons to make a matseva. Like we learned previously, a matseva is made because of tumah tahara reasons, that people should know that this is where there's a mace lying. And the Arizal says a matseva, at least the minimum matseva is required. So it's interesting. When the Ksav Sofer made a matseva, he didn't make a matseva, he made an oil, he made a mausoleum for the Ksav Sofer. So he said, why am I doing it? The Gemara just said that tzaddikim don't need a matseva. So he explained that there are two reasons to make a matseva. One is a matseva is for the benefit of the person who left the world. And he said, like the Gemara says, a tzaddik doesn't need that. But there's another reason to make a matseva. It's for the people who are left over, that they should have a place to go daven. Because it's a makom kaddish where a tzaddik is buried. That's why he said, I'm making a matseva, I'm making the oil to my father, the Ksav Sofer. Actually, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Because all of our avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and our imahos, don't have matsevas. Maos Machpelah, there's no matsevas. The only one of our avos and imahos that has a matseva is Rachel. Why? So the Mefarshim explained. Yaakov knew that tzaddik, the avos and imahos, don't need matsevas. The only reason he made a matseva for Rachel, because he knew that's where Klai Yisrael would pass when they go into Golis, and they need a place to daven, like the Ksav Sofer told us, you need a place to daven. So that's why for Rachel he made a matseva. Says the Gemara, Rav Yochanan have a mismach of Ozel. Rav Yochanan was leaning and going. All Rav Chiya Bar Abba he was walking. He tried to hide from him. Vomer, Halein Tati Malay Hadar Bavla Ovid. So Rav Yochanan commented, this person from Bavel, Rav Elazar, does two things. Chada, the Leishal B'Shlami. First of all, he doesn't say Shalom Aleichem to me. V'hada Mitma, and the other thing is that he hides from me. Two inappropriate things. Amle Rav Yaakov Eidi. So Rav Yaakov Eidi told him, Kach Nihigi Gabon. That's the way they act. The Ze'iri Leishal B'Shlami, the Rabbah. A person of lower stature doesn't go over to say Shalom Aleichem to a person of higher stature. In a Nigan, they follow what it says in the Pasuk. Ru'uni bonim, ru'uni na'arim v'nechbo. When young people see me, they hide. V'yishishim kam mamdu. Only great people, greater people come and greet me. Amlema, so he said to him. Now, regarding his second complaint that he hid. Amle, he asked, Ma'alema mekamed u'udra d'tzalmi. If you want to walk by a place of an Avodah Zarah, should you not walk by? Amalei ma'at palagle yakar. By not walking in front of him, you show him respect. What you ought to do is, avul kamoi, walk in front of it, for some annoy and ignore it. Amalei, so he says, you're saying that walking away is a sign of respect. So yos Rabbi Elazar of it, Rabbi Elazar did the right thing, the loy avakamach, he's showing you respect. Void of a habavla, but Rabbi Yochanan had another complaint against Rabbi Elazar. The le'am mishmatze mishmei, he never said over anything in my name. And the Panami Iris explains the Gemara as follows. He explains, Rabbi Yochanan, there are two types of talmidim. There's a talmid and there's a talmid chaver, which is like a colleague. So he was telling Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Elazar is your talmid. Since he's your Talmud, he treats you with respect. He doesn't say Shalom Aleichem to you. He doesn't walk in front of you. So he says, if he treats me with respect, so then he should, if that's the way he treats me, so why doesn't he say things over my name? If you're going to say he's a Talmud Chavar, and that's why he doesn't say things in my name, so then he shouldn't have not, then he should say Shalom Aleichem. So these two things contradict each other. So Rav Ami Rav Asi wanted to appease Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei Rabbi Kachoy Yemaisa Beis HaKnesset Shal Tesayim. The following story happened in the shul of Tesayim. But Nagash Yesh Brush Lustra, we learned the Gemara at the end of Masechta Ervin, that they had this pole that had on top of it this round ball, and there was a question, is a muksa or not? Shenechelku Reb Lezer Reb Yossi, Reb Lezer Reb Yossi were arguing over it. Actually, Kor Sevatar B'chamasan. In their anger, Sevatar got torn. Do you mean that they ripped it? The Sevatar got ripped when they got so heated in the argument. There was a person, Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma Shema, Omer, and he said, Timanim loy have a basic knesset with base avodah zarah. Ultimately, this basic knesset will turn into base avodah zarah. Why? Because they had a fight there, and the Sefer Torah got torn. So Mefarshim say, the Mashal explains, that in a place with his kas, with his anger, there is no shechina. If there is no shechina, it could turn into a base avodah zarah. So they said, don't get angry, because look at the repercussions of anger. So Rabbi Yochanan said, you can't compare this case to that case. There were two colleagues. Two colleagues shouldn't get angry at each other. Here, Rabbi Lozer is my Talmud. So he has to treat me with respect. In fact, I saw an interesting shaila. Now that we're learning how careful a Talmud has to be in treating his Rebbe with respect, is a Talmud allowed to send, Rav Yehuda also discusses this in the Tshuvas, is a Talmud allowed to send his Rebbe Shalach Manas? It says in the Megillus, Mesholach Manas ish l're'ehu, one to your friend. But your Rebbe is not your friend. So he says, two answers, why he's allowed to. First of all, Shalach Manas is generally not given directly from the person who's giving it to the other person. It's sent with a shliach. And number two, he says, re'ehu doesn't necessarily mean a friend of equal stature. What's the proof? He says, the Pasuk says, Re'echa v'reya avicha al tazoif. The Gemara says, who's Re'echa mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not our friend. So you see that you could use the terminology Re'echa, even though it's not somebody who's your friend, and you certainly can and should send self-monis to your Rebbe. Nechnas ulefon of Rav Yaakov Eidis. Now Rav Yaakov Eidis is still trying to appease Rav Yochanan. Unlike Siv, it says in the Pasuk, Asher tziv Hashem es Moshe avdoi, kein tziv Moshe es Yeshua, is the question. V'chi chol diba v'diba shay Yeshua yosh v'dorish. Every time Yeshua said a speech, hayoyim akafik am a Moshe, did he say Moshe said this? No. El Yeshua yosh v'dorish, Yeshua would speak, v'yoyin ha'kol shatar shamoshe hi. Everybody realized that what he was saying, he learned from Moshe. Because like the Mashal explains, the only place Yeshua could have learned was from Moshe. There was no other yeshiva. Af ata, here too. Eliezer Yosh V'dorish. Eliezer is the one that's saying, but everybody knows, V'hakul Yoidim Sh'atoyu Shulchayi. And therefore, don't be upset that he doesn't mention your name. It's obvious. Omle, he told them, M'nei ma'en eto Yoidim L'ratzois, why can't you know how to appease me to Ben Idi Chavareini? Like Rabbi Idi was able to appease me. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, my kulahai, the boy, the Yamrin Shmatz Mishmei, why was so Yochanan so anxious they should say over in his name? Says the Mar, the Af David Bikish Rachman. David Melch also wanted this. Shenemar, David Melch says, Agura Bailech Ilomim, I will live, Ilomim means two worlds. Echse Besesa Kanafecha Sala. Vichi Ola Adapta Shadavid Sheikhaiv Kaim Ilomim. Did David Melch think he'll live forever? El Kach Amadolf Nekrish Boko. Rebine Shaloylam. I ask you, Eska, let me be worthy, that my word should be always set over in the yeshivas, and that's why I will live forever, even when I'm not in this world. That's Olamim. Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Even when he was in Olam Haba, his words were said. Others say, Batik Nesiyos, Batik Medrashos, Tehillim is said in Batik Nesiyos, it's davening, and his Torah is said in Batik Medrashos. Same concept. That's pshat, where we say David Melch Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. Why is it Chai V'Kayam? Because he lives forever with his Torah and his Tehillim. Shim v'Nazir b'Shem Rav Yitzchak Oimer. Kol Tam Chokam Shoimer Dover Halach Mepiv Ba'olam Hazeh. If you say over something from David Tam Chokam in this world, Sfosav Rosh Yisimai V'Kamer. His lips continue to move. Shnema V'Chicho Kiyein HaToiv. Your lips are like good wine. Doiviv Sisa Yishenim. You have a barrel of grapes. If you touch the grapes, all the grapes move because they all touch each other. The same The same with the lips of tzaddikim, even when they're not in this world. Once you say something in the over in the from them, tzaddikim susayim rachshus non bekaver. Their lips continue to move. So Mefarshim ask, why do we find Rabbi Yochanan being so anxious that his words should be said after he leaves the world? Because like the Chidah explains, and he actually explains it la'alocha l'maisa, he says that if the Torah is Rabbi Yochanan's Torah, the fact that it's being said in his name or not doesn't change it. So what's the difference? So one pshat that I saw was, the Gemara Masechta Bracha says that Rabbi Yochanan used to walk around and he said, Dein Gromad Asira Bir. He used to have a bone, and he said that he lost his ten sons. So he left nobody in the world. That's why he was so anxious that at least people should remember him with the Divrei Torah that he said. Others say, Rabbi Yochanan knew that people will know that if the Divrei Torah is said in his name, they'll give it more consideration. He wanted what he said should be taken with the seriousness that it should be. So he said, say it over in my name. That's why I know people will accept it as it ought to be accepted. But the Mefarshim say, and I heard this from Rabbonim, it's much more of an Aveira not to say something over in the name of somebody who never said it than to say not to say something over in the name of somebody who said it. I heard Rabbonim say, don't say something in my name rather than do say it in my name the wrong way. Another pshat that B'nai Yisachar says is that when a person leaves this world, he's called an oimid. He can no longer do mitzvahs. However, how could a person still do mitzvahs after he leaves this world if we say Divrei Torah in his name? Rabbi Yochanan was very anxious that he should live on forever. Another pshat that I saw, actually I saw it in the name of the Satmar Rebbe, he says like this, it's very hard, we learned the Gemara actually in the Masechta Pesachim, to learn Torah Lishma, to learn Torah the way it's supposed to be. How could we be zoicha to learn Torah Lishma if we connect ourselves to people who are great, who are greater than we are, and they learn Torah Lishma? So by us connecting ourselves to those people, we could come to the Madrega of Torah Lishma. And there's a Mashah that says, the Kol Ha'imad Dover M'Shem Omroi Mevi Geula La'olam, says the Mashah, that if I say something over in the name of a person who's not here, he's already in the Olam Ha'emes, that person Mevi Geula, he will daven for me that whatever Geula and Yeshua I need, I should have. So now the Chidah and the Panamiris and the Yitav Lev all discuss the Shaila, if there's such a big inyan to say something over in the name of who said it, how could Svarim ever be written anonymously? So they all basically say the same. There are two types of Svarim written. Svarim that are written just Musar, not Halacha L'maisa, could be written anonymously. Because the fact that this person wrote the Sefer, the fact that his name is quoted or not, he gets the Schar in the Olam Emes. But Divrei Halacha should be always quoted by there should be a name at the front of the Sefer. The Rishonah says, Kol Ha'Oyim Adav B'Shem Omri. What's the Kol? Everybody. He says, sometimes you don't hear something directly. I heard it from Reuven, who heard it from Shimon. Kol, you should mention the entire list. We have it in the Gshas throughout. You should mention the entire list of who you heard it and who he heard it from, going back and back and back. There's an interesting Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim paskins that if I say something over in the name, if I say something over in somebody else that I saw from somebody else, and I don't quote him, it's called Gezeila. So the Meram Shik says from our Gemara, perhaps we have a proof not like that. Because Rabbi Yochanan was very upset if things weren't said in his name. If it's called Gezeila, why doesn't the Gemara say it's Gezeila? So it's a proof, the Meram Shik says, that it's wrong, but you can't call it gezeila. So Gemara says, ma noila, what hanor does a person have that after he leaves the world they should stay divrei Torah in his mouth? Bar nazira oma kadein de shosli kanditin. Kanditin is wine that's mixed with spices and honey, that the taste remains even after you drink it. Like you drink old wine. Even though you already drank it, the taste remains in your mouth. Here too, if you speak the very Torah from a person who's no longer here, the taste remains. The first you say, what's this combination? First, this the compared to wine with spices, and then it's compared to old wine. So wine with spices, they say, means when is a Talmud Chacham's words worthy? If not only does he have the Vertara, but he also has Maisim Toivim, wine with spices. The spices of them are the Maisim Toivim. And the other one says that even if he just has wine, just the Vertara. But I saw another pshat. You know, sometimes it's difficult to understand what people in earlier generations said. It's hard to recognize it. It's like the wine with the spices. The spices pretty much mask the wine, but the wine is still there. The same thing, even if we don't understand so well what was said in previous generations, we have a mitzvah, we have a chiv to learn the Divrei Torah of the Rishonim. Rav Gidl Omer, Ha'im Shmu B'Shem Omrei, Yir Bal Shmu Kil Omer L'Negdoi. If I say something in the name of somebody, I should imagine as if he's standing here. Shenema Ach B'Tzalach Yisalachish. The face of the person I'm saying, it should be here. Rav Adam, Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Rav Adam Yikra Ish Chazdoi, Zeshakal Adam. It's referring to most people that speak Chazdoi. Chazdoi means Torah. They speak Torah, but they don't say the name of the person who they heard it from. V'ish emunami yamotzei zereb zeira. Reb Zeira was always careful to say over in the name of who he heard from. That's why he said ish emunim. Dom Reb Zeira. Less than tzrich and chashin l'shmatzad Reb Sheshis. We don't have to worry. Anything Reb Sheshis said is certainly correct. Why? Du gavra mefatcha. He was a very reliable person. So the way most mefarshim explain is that Rav Sheshi was a very reliable person, and that's why everything he said is reliable. Other mefarshim explain that Zeira then said we don't pay attention to what Rav Sheshi said. Why? Since Rav Sheshi was blind, mefatcha is lashon saginar, so he never was able to see his Rebbe, so his Torah is not that reliable. Amalei Rav, Zeira l'Rabasi. Rav Zeira said to Rabasi, Chochem Rabbi Lebapasya, did you ever see Bapasya, the act Amrit Shmatz Mishmei, that you always repeat Divrei Torah in his name? Amalei, so he said, Rabasi answered, Rav Yochanan was my Rebbe, Amrit Mishmei, he heard from him directly, and I'm only repeating what I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Yochanan. Similarly, Amalei Rav Zeira Rabasi, Chochem Rabbi Lerav, that Amit Shamat Nishmei, did you ever see Rav, did you ever know Rav, did you say the retire in his name? Amalei, Rav Adaba Hava Amit Mishmei, Rav Adaba Hava heard from him, and I'm a Talmud of Rav Adaba Hava. Says the Gemara, Ein Dosh, Ein Ba Wutzonim, there is no generation that has people that know how to mak, Kedoyer Shal David, like David HaMelech's time. Mayay Putzei Ador Oysen, what would the bad people, would they do? Hoch Metzach Halon Oysen Shal David, they would go to David HaMelech's window, Amalei, David, when will the Beis HaMikdash be built? Why were they doing it? Because they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you will never build the Beis HaMikdash. They would tell him, when will we go to Hashem's house, to the Beis HaMikdash? Even though they want to tease me, Yovalai, a curse, I accepted what they said happily. The Ksiv, Samachti, I remained happy, but I'm only based on Hashem Neilach when they would tease me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David, when you live to when you're supposed to live, then you will die. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu David, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David, Yomim Shleim Mani Melech, you live a full life. Because David HaMelech, where we have to understand the Gemara told Hashem, take me from the world, because I can't build a Beis HaMikdash. Take me, so Shlomo HaMelech should build the Beis HaMikdash. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David, Klum Shlomo Bincha Yibana Beis HaMikdash. The only reason why Shlomo HaMelech has to build the Beis HaMikdash is Ela Hakriv Kabbanis Sibur, in order that we should have Kabbanis in the Beis HaMikdash. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David, Chav V'Lai Tztoko Mishvashat Ta'isa, I appreciate more the Tztoko and the Ches that you do, Yois Min HaKarbon. Shnem Tztoko Mishpat Nifchal Hashem Izevach. The Tztoko that you do is more worthwhile than the Kabbanis. And the Mefarshim point out, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say, I want your Torah. He said, I want your Maisim Toivim. And what do we see? How is Zoichid David Zoicha to this greatness because he was an honor. He was so modest. He said, take me. I'm ready to do anything for you. We learned that they used to take the coins, the Machzor Shekel from the Beis HaMikdash, three times a year. There's actually Machlokes Rishonim how it worked. The Rambam says they used to put the Shkolim in big barrels, and then three times a year they used to take from the big barrels into small barrels. Other Mefarshim say they didn't take it out from the big barrels, they actually put them on the floor, and directly from the floor they were put into the small barrels. Says the Mishnah, B'shlosh prakim shonim, three times a year, Tarmenes Alishka. They used to take the coins out. B'freisa Pesach, 15 days before Pesach, B'freisa Tzeres, 15 days before Shavuos, B'freisa Chag, 15 days before Sukkos. V'hein gronish l'maisa behema. The halacha is that we have to take maisa behema. So the way most Rishonim learn the Gemara is as follows. If a person wants to eat an animal without taking maaser, it's fine. But the people wanted to do the right thing, and they took maaser. However, Chazal said there three times a year that if you didn't, at that point, you're not allowed to eat animals without taking the maaser behema. It says the Tanna Kamma, the same three times they took the Trumas Alishka were the same three times that they took the maaser behema. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Benazai says different. He says, Besim Betisha, it's 15, the 29th day of Adar. What's the machloikis between Rabbi Kiva and Benazai? According to Rabbi Kiva, the month of Nisan is always Mole. So therefore, Chodesh Nisan is 15 days. According to Benazai, it could be Chasr, so that's why we say 29 days. Bechad is 7. Not 15 days before Shavuos, said because that would be too small of a window between Pesach and Shavuos, so we only do it with Chodesh Sivan. Or Be'esma Tisha B'Av, 29 days in Av. We'll explain that more tomorrow in the Shir. Rabbi Lezer of Shimon Oimim, Be'echad B'Nisan, they agree with Rabbi Kiva as far as Esach B'Nisan. Be'echad B'Sivan, they agree with Benazai regarding the first day of Sivan. And B'Chof Tesbal, not 29 days in Av, rather 29 days in Av. And the Mefarshim say that all of these machloikasin are regarding the meiser, but as far as Trumas Alishka, everybody agrees. V'lama amr b'chef tes v'alol, why in 29 days in alol? V'lay amr b'echem v'tishrei, why not Rosh Chodesh Tishrei? V'bnei shu yontif, because Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. V'esher lasa b'yontif, you can't take meiser in yontif. L'fikah chivduah b'chef tes v'alol, that's why we do it a day earlier on 29 days in alol. So Mefarshim say, Taisa says, why can't we take Meiser on Rosh Hashanah? So because the way it worked with the Meiser was that every 10 animals walked, 10 animals would walk out, and the 10th animal, they would give it a paint of red. And in Yom Tov, you're not allowed to paint. So Taisa says, but why not say that you're not allowed to be Magdish in Yom Tov? Or why not, because it's Mesakin, you're fixing the earth. So they say the Kedusha comes automatically. So that's not called being Magdish. Problem is, Soveya point painting. Amar Rabavua. Kol hanin the tanin pras. Whenever we learn the word pras, it means palga half. Palga the lamed yoim koid lamoit. The 30 days before Pesach, which is when you're supposed to learn the Hilchas Pesach, shadarshim b'il chayisav. So halfway, that's when we do the Trumas Alishka. So here we see that 15 days before, 30 days before Yontif, you have to learn the Hilchas Yontif. Now there's an interesting shaila. Is that in every Yontif or only in Pesach that has so many halachas? So there's a lot of debate in the Poskim, but the Chassam Sofer says nowadays, certainly it's only before Pesach. Pesach has a lot of halachas. In those days, that they brought Kabbonis from the Yom Tovim, so every Yontif you needed 30 days. Nowadays, especially like a Yontif like Shavuos, you don't need 30 days. 15 days is enough. V'hen gronus, why do we take the trumas then? Nei she'pirkeleida. That's when animals have babies, so that's the right time to take off the ma'is behema. Rav Acher, Rav Tanch, v'chiyam, Yishuv ben Levi, k'dei she'teya behema mitzuyah lo'el regolim. We want to have a lot of animals available for the people coming to the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rav Yudim. Rav Yudim says a different reason. Shlo yovel adei bal ta'acher. We don't want that once you take off the Meiser, if you don't bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, you may be over Baal Ta'achel. That if you have something you have to bring and you don't bring, there's an Isser of Baal Ta'achel L'Shamay. So that's why I take the Meiser, and right away it will be Yontav, and you'll be able to pay your vow. Because Om Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi told us, Kol HaMasha Tivlei, whoever delays bringing what he has to, over Baal Ta'achel, he's over the Isser of Baal Ta'achel.